Today's shiur masechta zvach and daf yotes. We will begin on daf yotes, amud aleph, six lines from the top. Tanan hosam. Agmar begins by quoting a mishnah in masechta erevin. The mishnah masechta erevin says tanan hosam koyin shaloka b'etzboyu. If koyin has a wound on his finger, karchala gemi b'migdash, he's allowed to put on it a grass bandage, as we're going to learn later in our shiur today. Gemi is something that was used when they had a wound to cover the wound, to heal the wound. Avlad in Medina, it may not be put on outside the Beis HaMikdash. And the Pasuk Peshat in the Mishnah, this is the way Rashi explains the Gemara, is because, as we know, doing anything for refuah, doing anything for healing purposes, is Osur and Shabbos. Chazal made a gzeira mishum shchika samimonim. And our Mishnah is teaching us that even though that rule applies, ain't shvus b'migdash, it does not apply in the Beis HaMikdash. And in the Beis HaMikdash, one is allowed to do something for refuah. The Rishonim debate, when we say ain't shvus b'migdash, but and therefore something for refuah may be done in the Beis HaMikdash, to what degree? Is it only to the degree that b'shas the avoida, that only while they were doing the actual avoida in the it's unseemly that a kohen who has a wound on his finger or anywhere should have it exposed, and that's why Chazal said ain't shvus b'migdash, and they're allowed to put on this bandaid on Shabbos. Or, and this is the opinion of most Rishonim, ain't shvus b'migdash teaches us that it's completely permitted. The Issur the Rabbanon do not, Issurei the Rabbanon do not apply in the Beis HaMikdash. And the reason for this would be, because why did Chazal say, for example, that one is not allowed to take medicine in Shabbos? Shchikas HaMamonim. They were concerned that if somebody's going to take medicine, he may come to make the medicine, and of course making the medicine involves an Issur D'oraisa. However, in the Beis HaMikdash, where Kohanim's Rizim Hain, where the Kohanim act appropriately, there is no need to have that concern, and therefore all the Rabbanans would relax in the Beis HaMikdash. Vim lahaitzi men adam, but if his purpose in putting on the skemi is to squeeze out blood, that is already a malacha d'oraisa, the malacha of chayvel, and therefore kavakan osur, it would be prohibited not just outside the Beis HaMikdash, but even in the Beis HaMikdash as well. Ask the Mefarshim, doing chayvel with the purpose of squeezing out blood is a malacha shen tzrichu gufa. And as we have learned so many times, the issue of malacha shen tzrichu gufa is actually a machlokes Rav Shimon and Yehuda, and malacha shen tzrichu gufa is mutter or aser. So according to the opinion of Rav Shimon, the malacha shen tzrichu gufa is mutter, so it remains only at worst of the Rabbanon. And we just finished saying that the Rabbanons aren't usher in the Beis HaMikdash. So why would it be usher according to Rav Shimon? So I saw a number of answers to this question. One answer is that the opinion of Rashi is that even Rav Shimon, who holds that a Malacha Shein HaTzrichu Gufa is mutter, Rashi says there are two exceptions, Chayvel and Mavir. That by Chayvel and Mavir, even Rav Shimon agrees that a malacha shen tzricha l'gufa is also. And here we're referring to the malacha of chayvel, as we just said a moment ago, and that's why Rav Shimon will agree that it's also. But according to Tosfos, that holds malacha shen tzricha l'gufa is not also d'oraisa, even by chayvel. How will we understand this Gemara? So either according to Tosfos, we're going to have to say that this Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, or a very interesting opinion of the Urayim. The Urayim says that even though, as we said a moment ago, there's a rule, ain't shvus b'migdash, says the Urayim there are different types of shvusim, and there are more serious shvusim and less serious shvusim. And says the Urayim that the shvus of Malachish and Tzrich L'Gufay is a very serious shvus, that even that type of shvus is also even in the Beis HaMikdash.
comments the Gemara on this ruling of the Mishnah. Amr Rabbi Yehuda bar Rav Chiya lo yishana el gemi. This discussion is only regarding a gemi. Aval tzitzil katan, if he's going to put on a small belt. Havale yita begadim, we have a new concern that he's being wearing an extra baggage. And as we discussed in the previous shiur, if a kohen is wearing an extra baggage when he's doing the avoda, he disqualifies the avoda, and therefore it will be asur. Rabbi Yochanan says, Layamar yita begadim, the entire concern of wearing extra begadim was only said ela b'makom begadim. If the extra begad is put on in a place that a begad is normally worn, aval shloi b'makom begadim, if somebody puts on an extra begad in a place where garments are not normally worn, the example here is he put it on the finger, and finger is not a place where people wear begadim, the issue of yita begadim does not apply. Lo have yiter, we will not have a concern of yiter. Ask the Gemara, even if we won't have a concern of yiter, but why don't we have a concern of chatzitza? The type claim shum chatzitza, that this should be considered a chatzitza between the hand of the kohen and the keli or whatever he's using to do the avoda. Answers the Gemara. Our Gemara Rabbi Yochanan is referring to a situation, the small. We put on this belt on his left hand, inami, or he put it on shloim makom avoda, and the left hand may not be used for the avoda, or he put it on a place even on his right hand, let's say in a part on the back of the hand that's not used shloim makom avoda, it's not used for avoda, and therefore there is no concern of chatzitza. Ask the Mefarshim, why does the Gemara wait to ask this question about chatzitza after it hears the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan? Why doesn't it ask right away on the Mishnah? That the Mishnah said in the Beis HaMikdash, one they put on a gemi on his hand, why doesn't the Gemara ask that you can't put a gemi on the hand because the gemi should be a chatzitza? So some explain, because the Mishnah, we would say, is only referring shloi b'shas avoda. When is there a halacha that you're allowed to put on that gemi? When you're not doing the avoda. But Rabbi Yochanan seems to be saying his halacha even when you're doing the avoda. So there's a question, if it's while you're doing the avoda, why isn't there a problem with chatzitza? Another teretz, that Rabbi Yochanan is speaking about a bigger type of a material than a gemi. And therefore the question is much stronger in Rabbi Yochanan, that if a gemi, which we can say is insignificant, Rabbi Yochanan, who's speaking even about a more significant item and still says it's mutter, certainly the more significant the item is, the more of a chatzitz it is. And that's why, even though the question is a question on the Mishnah, it's a stronger question on Rabbi Yochanan, and the Gemara preferred to ask the question on Rabbi Yochanan. Furthermore, from here we see that anything on the hand that is a chatzitza between what you're supposed to be holding and is considered a chatzitza. And therefore, say the Paiskim, when one takes the dalam minim on sukkah, on sukkahs, one has to be careful that there should be no chatzitza between his hand and the dalam minim. And therefore, if it's a person wearing rings, a woman wearing rings, or a man wearing rings, or if it's a person who has a band-aid, has to be careful to remove all of those items from his hand before taking the dalam minim. Because the Pais can go on to explain, even though we learned in Masech the Sukkah, Kol Shalana Oisai, anything that's used to beautify Eina Chaitzitz, that rule of Kol Shalana Oisai Eina Chaitzitz was said on something that's used to beautify the lulav. And that's why the halach is, our minig is, that we put the minig into a holder, and even though that holder is a chatzitza around the dalam minim, since the purpose of that holder
is to beautify and help us fulfill the mitzvah of Dalaminim, it's not considered a chatzitza. But certainly a ring or something else on the hand which has no connection to the mitzvah of Dalaminim is considered a chatzitza. And as our Gemara teaches us, anything as small as it may be is considered a chatzitza. Says the Gemara, or pligi de Rava, what Rabbi Yochanan holds is in disagreement with what Rava said. Dama Rava Amar Rav Chisda, but Makim Begodim, in the place where somebody is supposed to wear a big day kahuna, a filu nima achas chatzitzes, even the smallest thread will serve as a chatzitza. Shloim Makim Begodim, if it's not where the big day kahuna wore, shalish al shalish, if it's something the size of 3 etzpas by 3 etzpas, chaytzetzes, it will be a chatzitza. B'mokh mikan, it is not considered a chatzitza. So we see from here we see that even where shloim b'mokh b'godim, it's not with a place of where you wear the big kahuna, we have an issue. It's important to point out that in our Gemara, we're going to have this issue a number of times amidst Hashem in today's shir. The word chaytzetzes has two meanings, and it's interchangeable in many Gemaras. This Gemara that we just learned is the best example. First Gemara says, b'mokim b'godim, afil nimachs chaytzetzes. Here the word chaytzetzes has the traditional definition of chaytzetzes. It's a chatzitza between his hand, and if it's a, and the, even between the big day kahuna and the person's body. However, in the next piece of Gemara, where the Gemara uses the word chetzetzes, so it's not in a place where there's big day kahuna worn. So it's not in a place where big day kahuna worn. The word chetzetzes there doesn't have the traditional meaning of chetzetzes. Here it means that it refers to yitta begodim. And the Rishonim explain that why does the Gemara use the same word? Because both of them refer to a disqualification, and therefore the Gemara uses the same word to represent the disqualification of, or even though the disqualifications are very different disqualifications, one is a disqualification for chatzitza, and one is a disqualification of yitta begodim. Says the Gemara, ad Rabbi Yochanan v'adi pligi. Rav and Rabbi Yochanan certainly are disagreeing, because Rav says that a beggar that's sholosh or sholosh is considered yitta begodim, and Rabbi Yochanan says that shloim b'makom begodim, if it's not a place where begodim are worn, there's no issue of yitta begodim. However, ask the Gemara, Adar Yehuda b'Rav Yehuda milema de pligi, must we say that they're arguing? Because Rabbi Yehuda b'Rav Yehuda said that even a tzeltzel cotton, even a small belt, which is smaller than shalosh or shalosh, is going to be a chatzitza. Answer the Gemara, no. Shani tzeltzel cotton chashiv. Since a tzeltzel cotton is chashiv, it could well be that even Rava will agree that even though it doesn't have the proper dimensions, a shalos, the halacha is that it's considered a yitu begodim. Machloikis hapaiskim, what will be the halacha if a kohen did the avoida with a chatzitza between his body and the big day kahuna? The Meches Chinuch says he's considered as if he's a kohen who did the avoida not wearing big day kahuna, that there's a chiyum misa b'day shemayim. Other rishonim disagree, and other paiskim disagree that it's only that there's no chiyum misa for such a situation. Says the Gemara, Lishnah Chuin Amrila, there's a different lashon on how to understand this entire Gemara. What was said in this Gemara? Amar Yehuda b'Rav of Chia, Loishan al Gemi, only a Gemi is considered no problem. Avot Tzotl Cotton, if it's a small belt, Chaitzitz. Rabbi Yochanan says, so Rabbi Yehuda b'Rav of Chia is actually the same in this version as he was in the previous version. The difference is in Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Loi Omar Chatzitza Pox Mishal Shalish, we did not say that a Chatzitza is a Chatzitza
only when it's less than three etzpos, than three etzpos. It's not considered yit the chetzitza el b'makom begadim, av shlo b'makom begadim. If it's not with a big dekuna worn, sholosh or sholosh. If you have something that's sholosh or sholosh chetzitzos, it's considered yit begadim. Pachs mekam ein chetzitzos. If it's less than three tefachim than three tefachim, it will not be considered yit begadim. And that is the exact same as Rava and Rav Chisda. So according to this version, Rava and Rav Yochanan are in agreement. Certainly, Rav Yochanan will disagree with Rav Yehuda, Bered Rav Chia. Because Rav Yehuda Bered Rav Chia says that even a small belt is considered a chetzitza. Rabbi Yochanan, who's speaking directly to Rabbi Yehuda Bered Rav Chia, and saying, no, I don't agree with you. You hold that even a tzitzel kelten is considered yitu begadim. I hold that no. It must be shalosh al shalosh to be considered yitu begadim. But now the question is, do we have to say, lema pligi at Rabbi Yehuda Bered Rav Chia? Must we say that Rava and Rabbi Yehuda Bered Rav Chia are disagreeing, or is there a way of reconciling them? And says the Gemara, Rava could be agreeing with Rabbi Yehuda Bered Rav Chia, shani tzotl katan d'chashiv, because Rava will agree that when it's a small belt, it's considered chashiv, and even though it's not three tefachim or three tefachim, it will be considered yitu begadim. In other words, the way to understand the Gemara, it is a question, will Rava be agreeing with Rabbi Yochanan? And will Rava hold that only if it's three tefachim by three tefachim is it considered yitu begadim, as Rabbi Yochanan says, anything less under all circumstances will not be yitu begadim? Or could be that Rava is agreeing with Rabbi Yehuda, Bered Rav Chia, and disagreeing with Rabbi Yochanan, and saying that anything chashiv, even if it's less than shalosh or shalosh etzpos, if it's a tzitzel katan, will be considered yitu begadim. Interesting to point out that the Chazon Ish says that when the Gemara says it has to be three etzpos by three etzpos, the Chazon Ish suggests that maybe it has to be exactly three etzpos by three etzpos squared. But certainly, if we're learning now in the Gemara that if it's choshev, then it's always going to be an issue. So the Chazon Ish will only be speaking about something that's not three etzpos squared, and also not choshev. Frek the Gemara, ask the Gemara, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that he holds that as long as it's not three etzpos but three etzpos, we have no problem. Ask the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan, Ma'ir Yegemi, Lishmin Tzitzel Katan. Why did the Mishnah mention a Gemi? The Mishnah could have told us a bigger Chiddush, that even a Tzitzel Katan is not a problem. Answers the Gemara, the Mishnah wants to teach us, the Mishnah Masech Erevin wants to teach us, the Gemi Messi, the Gemi cures, and as the Rishonim explain, the Mishnah Masech Erevin is primarily coming to focus on Hilchos Shabbos. And as we began today's shiur, is that Shabbos, normally, refuah is also. It's only because Ein Shvus B'Migdash were they allowed to put on a Gemi. So since the main point of that Mishnah is to teach us the halachas of refuah b'Shabbos, that is much more explained by a Gemi, because the Gemi is what causes a refuah, and that's why the Mishnah focuses on a Gemi, even though it could have also taught us a Chiddush that tzitzel katan is not considered yitur begadim. Ask the Gemara Boi Rava, Nichnas olurach b'digdoi mahu, if a wind came below his begged, and it blew the garment away from his body, what will be the halacha? Will that be considered a problem or not? Al basar binan, do we need that the big dekuna be al basar v'haleka, and we're lacking that because the wind blew it away? Oy derma derech levish v'kach, that's normal that when you wear clothing, sometimes the wind will come and blow it away, and therefore it's not considered a concern. So the Paiska make an interesting observation. Certainly anything that's not that's considered derech levisha, if it's not big day kahuna, there would be no room for concern. And therefore, they say, for example, we know, and we're going to discuss this issue later in our shir, there's a concept of a chatzitza by tefillin. So what is the halacha if somebody goes to the mikveh or takes a shower right before he davened shachris, and he didn't dry his hair carefully, and his hair is still somewhat moist, and there's still water left in his hair? That certainly will not be a chatzitza. Because since that's the normal way that a person comes, a person goes out, that's considered derech levisha. And as far as hilchas tefillin are concerned, that is certainly not a concern of derech of a chatzitza. It's only here where the Torah uses very specific wording of al besoroi. So perhaps there are different rules applied here, and therefore even the smallest chatzitza, or even something which is normally not a chatzitza, ruach, perhaps will be a concern. Furthermore, I saw a beautiful vart from Reb Zalman Sorotzkin in his Sefer Maznayim L'Toyu. The pasuk where we learned this din of al besoroi, the special halacha that was saying applies to the bidei kahuna, is by the mechnasayim, or by the trousers that the kohanim wore. Because the pasuk says, v'lavash ha-kohen midoy bad, u'mechnasay bad, yilbash al besoroi. So he asks, why from all of the bidei kahuna did the Torah specifically point out by the mechnasayim this halacha? So he explains, we know, and so was the halacha stated at the beginning of Or Chaim, that a person when he dresses himself has to be careful to dress himself in a fashion that sneers. He should not have his entire body exposed. So if that's the rule, we would say that even though there's a din, one of the big dekunas we've been learning are the mechnasayim, are the pants, he should remain with undergarments under his pants, so that his body, his entire body, should not be exposed when he puts on the mechnasayim, because of the issue of tznius. Teaches us the Torah that al besoroi, the Torah is careful that the mechnasayim have to be on his body with nothing in between, no undergarments in between. And even though this is contradictory to the normal fashion of a way a person is supposed to get dressed, it's contrary to the rules of tznius, here the Torah has to teach us specifically by the mechnasayim al besoroi. Ask the Gemara, kino amash tachot, will a lice be considered a chatzitza? Says the Gemara, meisa loy tabay loch, if it's dead, it's certainly no question, the vade chaitza chaya mai. But the question is if it's alive. Mimrin kima da osav azlo, since it's alive, it keeps on moving around on the body, revisihi, it's considered part of the body, the loy chaitza, and it won't be a chatzitza. Oidoma, kima da kapra loch, a person doesn't want to have that on his body, chaitza, it will be considered a chatzitza. Ask the Gemara further, offer mashiachot, will a piece of earth be considered a chatzitza? Says the Gemara, offer, vadi chayitz, it's certainly considered a chatzitza. Ask the Gemara, ella, avak offer mahu, what will be the halacha if it's just a dust of earth? It's something so very insignificant. What will be the din? So I saw that the Mepharshim asked an obvious question. The Gemara in Masechet Erevin says the midaraisa, the only thing that's considered a chatzitza is ruboy umakbid, something that covers most of the body, and it's something that a person is careful about. The Rabbanan said if it's ruboy the ena makbid, if it covers most of the body, even though the person ena makbid doesn't really care about it, or it's makbid, the person cares about this chatzitza, even though it's not ruboy, it's miyutoy, it's considered a chatzitza. But if something is miyut, the ain a makbid, the Gemara clearly teaches us that it's not considered a chatzitza, even midrabon. So ask the Mepharshim, avak offer, certainly doesn't fall into the category of chatzitza. It's a miyut, it's a ain a makbid, so how could the Gemara have a question if it's a chatzitza? So some explain that our Gemara is actually only asking with Rabbonin. Midaraisa, certainly, Avak Ofer would not be a Chatzitza. The Gemara is only questioning, did Rabbonin make a special din? Another teretz that's given is that this entire halacha that we just quoted about what is considered a Chatzitza, the Gemara Masechta Ervin, is only regarding Hilchus Tefila. As far as Hilchus Tefila is concerned, you have to have either Ruba Veda Makbid or Miut HaMakbid. But here we're not referring to Hilchus Tefila, and regarding Hilchus Tefila, regarding all other areas, any Chatzitza is a Chatzitza. Other explain that this rule that we just quoted from Masechta Ervin is a rule in all Hilchus Chatzitza. But, as we said a moment ago, when it comes to Big Day Kahuna, there are special rules. Why? Because as we've quoted the Pasuk said, Es Besarei. And as Rav Shach explains in the Sefer Avi Ezri, what the Torah is teaching us with the words Es Besarei is that every part of the body has to be covered with the Big Day Kahuna. And therefore, even if it's not a concern of Chatzitza, we still don't have Es Besarei. And therefore, it should perhaps be Aser. Another question. Beis HaSachi Meisesh Yachetz. That means, if the person's wearing wide-fitting clothing, and by the armpit, therefore, the clothing doesn't touch his body, what will be that din? Al Besar Bina Valeka. The clothing aren't touching his body. That's the way they used to wear clothing, and therefore, it's not a concern. Nima, Hechnas Yadol Tacheka, continues the Gemara. If somebody put his hand under his shirt, Gufa Mechayitzloi, is it considered Chatzitza or not? And again, even though we know that typically a person's, one part of a person's body is not a Chatzitza to another part of a person's body, the Raya is because we know that if a person is missing wearing a yarmulke, he can't just put his hand on top of his head, because the body can't be considered an outside covering. The question is, what is the halacha regarding, as we've been describing, Hilchus Big Day Kahuna, that have their own set of rules? Nima, a thread, asked the Gemara Masha Tochet, is it considered a chatzitza? So the Gemara Nima, and a thread, is certainly a chatzitza. Rather, asked the Gemara, El Nima Medudelis, if there's a thread that's hanging loosely from the garment, Mahu, will it be considered a chatzitza? Boy Mabar of Ashi, Yotzat Sarba Bigda Mahu, if his hair went into his clothing, Sar Kagufadami, is his hair considered an extension of his body, and therefore not a chatzitza, or it is a chatzitza? So the way most Mefarshim explain the Gemara, is that the Kohen has long hair, and the question is if his long hair goes under his Big Day Kahuna, will they be considered a chatzitza or not? However, the Mefarshim ask on this pshat that we know the Kahana may not be Purei Rosh. The Kahana may not have long hair. So how is that possible that he should have such long hair that they go under his clothing, between his clothing and his body? And therefore they explain that the Gemara refers to his beard or his payas that were long and went under his clothing, between his clothing and his body. The Rambam, however, has a whole different explanation to this Gemara's question. He explains that the Gemara's question is not about hair between the clothing and the body. Certainly such hair, even the hair of the beard, doesn't belong there and will be considered chatzitza. Rather, he says what we're referring to here is hair on top of his clothing. That even though our Gemara's till now have been focusing about a chatzitza between the clothing and the body, now the Gemara is introducing another question. Maybe the Big Day Kahuna have to be completely exposed, and nothing is supposed to be covering up the Big Day Kahuna, and therefore the Gemara's question is, what will be the halacha if the beard of the Kohen covers up from the front the Big Day Kahuna, where we have a concern? Bar Zeira asks Rav Zeira, Tfilah Mashi Chaitzu. And here we have a fundamental machloikis Rashi and Taisvus, how to understand the Gemara. Rashi explains that the Gemara's question of Tfilah Mashi Yechaitzu is a question, is tefillin considered yita begadim? Going back to what we discussed earlier in our shir and in the previous shir, a kohen is not allowed to wear an extra garment. And the Gemara's question is, are the tefillin considered an extra garment? That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos explains that here too the Gemara means with the word shirichotzu, it means a chatzitza. Is tefillin, if the kohen's wearing tefillin, considered a chatzitza or not? Says the Gemara, Aliyah demand the Amalai allows man tefillin. We know there's a question if tefillin can be worn at night. Says the Gemara, according to the man the Amalai, the Lila allows man tefillin, loy to boy loch. Because kim the Lila chaitzi, since at night there are chatzitza, yoim nami chaitzi. So according to Rashi, this Gemara is somewhat difficult to understand. What does it have to do that it's a problem at night, and therefore it's certainly it's going to be a problem by day? What does one have to do with the other? At night, you don't wear tefillin. By day, you do wear tefillin. So Mefarshim, Rashi himself says this, explain as follows. It's hard to have, as Rashi is explaining, that the Gemara's issue here is Yitu Begadim. And Rashi is saying, it's hard to understand that at night, wearing tefillin will have a din of Yitu Begadim, since Lila loves Man Tefillin, and during the day, it will not be considered Yitu Begadim. Because we know that as far as all of the avoiders in the Beis HaMikdash, the day is much more than the night. By day is really the time to do the avoider. Most avoiders may not be done at night. So Rashi is saying that the Gemara is saying it's hard to end up with a situation where we'll have a chumra by night that won't exist by day. According to Tosfos, the Gemara is very gishmak. The way to understand the Gemara is as follows. If Lila's man tefillin, that you could always wear tefillin, so the tefillin could always be viewed as an extension of the person's body, and therefore they will not serve as a chatzitza. But if you're not allowed to wear tefillin at night, so it's obvious that the tefillin are not an extension of the person's body, and therefore they consider the chatzitza, and they consider chatzitza by day also. But the problem with Tosfos pshat is that even if we're going to follow this pshat, even Tosfos will certainly agree that Shabbos in Yom Tov, you don't wear tefillin. So we should follow him saying that if on Shabbos in Yom Tov, the chatzitza, so too, the chatzitza the rest of the time, they're obviously not considered an extension of one's body. So the Arsameach explains that if we're following the opinion that Lila's man tefillin, that you wear tefillin at night, this opinion will also hold that even though you're not mechuyev to wear tefillin on Shabbos for Yom Tov, you may wear tefillin on Shabbos for Yom Tov, and therefore tefillin could always be worn 365 days a year, and therefore they're always considered an extension of one's body. Says the Gemara, ki tebailoch, the mandam and lailah's man tefillin. According to mandam, that you can wear tefillin by night. Man, mitzvah the gufei chayitz, do we say that the tefillin that one's supposed to wear are considered yitu begadim, or like chayitz, they're not considered yitu begadim. Says the Gemara, Gilgal Milsa, or Matal Kamed Rav Ami, this discussion came to Rav Ami, Amalei Talmud Oruch B'Yadeinu, Tefillin Chatzitzas. We have a rule that tefillin are considered yitu begadim. Meisvei, ask the Gemara, it says in a Braisa, Kohanim B'Vaidosom, while the Kohanim are doing the Avodah, V'Lviim B'Duchonam, and the Levim stood on the Duchen and sang the Shira, the Yisrael B'Mamadu. As we know, the Torah says, regarding the Korban Tamid, Tishmerui L'Hakru Libim Ma'adon, that we have to bring the Korban Tamid every day in the morning and the afternoon. And our law is that when somebody brings a Korban, he had to be in the Beis HaMikdash when the Korban was brought. Now we can't, the Korban Tamid is brought from all of Klal Yisrael. Now we certainly can't have a situation that all of Klal Yisrael have to be in the Beis HaMikdash every day of the year. So they had Ma'amadus, as the Gemara Masech, the Tainus describes, who, in the groups of people who were there in the Beis HaMikdash, they had certain tefillos and certain Torah that they were learning in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Braisa says that all these individuals, Peturim and Tefillim, are exempt from Tefillim, from davening and putting on Tefillim. We have a rule of Oisik B'Mitzvah, Potim and HaMitzvah. My laugh. So doesn't that mean? It just says Peturim. It doesn't the Braisa seem to be saying that they're not obligated, but if they put him on, it wouldn't be a problem? Says the Gemara, loy. If they actually put him on, there would be a problem of Yitu Begodim. Ask the Gemara if that's the rule, that they may not wear the tefillin. The Kohanim may not wear the tefillin. Because by wearing tefillin, you have a problem of Yitu Begodim. Yachi Peturim, why did the Braisa use the word Peturim? Asurim in Baalei. The Braisa should have said that they're also to wear the tefillin. Answers the Gemara. Kim and the Ikel Levim Yisrael. By the Levim Yisrael, the word Osir is inappropriate. Doin Masin Le Osir. There it's only issue of Peturim of Eisgle Mitzah Potim and a Mitzah. That's why we use the same word by Kahanim, but indeed by Kahanim it's Asurim because of Yitu Begodim. The issue of Eisgle Mitzah Potim and a Mitzah, the Rishonim debate here how to apply it. Will it be only while they're doing the Avoida that we can apply the concept of Eisgle Mitzah Potim and a Mitzah, or will it be even when they're not actually doing the Avoida? For Tanya, but ask them, didn't the Braisa say im chaytzeis, im enichot ena chaytzeis, that there's no problem? Answer them, I like Kasha. Had yad, had rosh. By the tefillin shayad, there is a concern. By the tefillin shayad, there is no concern. So Rashi takes an interesting twist here, and Rashi said that even though till now we've been discussing, when we spoke about the tefillin, we were discussing them as yitu begodim. Now the issue changes from the concept of Yitu Begodim to the concept of Chatzitza. And even according to Rashi, now the issue is Chatzitza, and the Gemara is teaching us that Bar Tefillin Shayad, there's a problem with Chatzitza, there would be a problem with Chatzitza, not Bar Tefillin Shayirosh. Maishna Diyad, says the Gemara, why is there a difference between Tefillin Shayad and Tefillin Shayirosh? Maishna Diyad, the Ksiv Yilbash Abasaroi. And it teaches us like David Chaitz Ben Elab Sari that the big there should be no chatzitza between the body and the hand. Ask the Gemara, but the same din applies by the Rosh. The Rosh Namik Siv, but sometimes it's nefes al Roshay that you're not allowed to have a chatzitza. So why may he wear the tefillin shayad, the tefillin shayrosh, and not the tefillin shayad? Answer the Gemara, Tana Sara Hayanir Ben Sitz from its nefes. We know that the Kohen Gadol wore tzitz. We also know that the Kohen Gadol wore a mitznefes, and says the Gemara Shashamanir Tulum that there was space between the mitznefes and the tzitz to put on the tefillin. So the way most Rishonim explain the Gemara is that the tefillin shalroish could be worn without being a katzitza between the mitznefes and the head of the kohen, or the midbas and the head of the kohen. That's why he wears the tefillin shalroish. The tefillin shayad cannot be worn in a way that there shouldn't be a chatzitza between the bigdei kahuna and the hand of the kohen, and therefore he may not wear the tefillin shayad. Others explain, however, very differently. They explain that the din of chatzitza was only said by tefillin shayad. There is no din of chatzitza by tefillin shorosh, and therefore by the tefillin shayad, they couldn't put on the tefillin shayad on top of the bigdei kahuna, because the bigdei kahuna would be a chatzitza between the hand of the kohen and his tefillin. By the shalroish, there is no such concern, and therefore you could put the tefillin on top of the mitznefes, and there is no din of chatzitza by tefillin shalroish. Interesting, when we look in the Shulchan Aruch in Arachayim Simon Chav Zayin Sifdalit Paskins, lo yehei davar chaitzitz, ben tefillin l'psari. There's not going to be any chatzitza. But in the Sif afterward, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, yesh lahataloi, l'niv tefillin arosh, alakoy v'dak, hasomach l'rosh. One could put tefillin on top of a small, on top of a thin covering that's on his head, v'chasma neiroim, but people shouldn't see it. What is the Shulchan Aruch saying? So the explanation is based on the way we just learned in Gemara. First, the Shulchan Aruch is paskening, like the way we originally learned the Gemara, that a chatzitza is a concern both by tefillin shayad and by tefillin shorosh. Just the Gemara said, but at tefillin shorosh, you can manage to put them on without them being a chatzitza, without them being in a place
that you have to have the mitbas or the mitznefes. Finish a yad, you cannot do so. The next sif of the Shulchan Aruch is found in the second opinion that we cited, that by tefillah shorosh there is no issue of chatzitza. And therefore the Shulchan Aruch says that if you have such an individual that for whatever reason he can't put tefillin directly on his head, he could put them on top of a chatzitza. But, says the Shulchan Aruch, since it's not clear that that's the halacha, we have the opinion of the Rishonim, the chatzitza, some Rishonim, the chatzitza is a problem with tefillah shorosh. V'yechasein b'pnei haroyim. Be careful that people shouldn't see you doing it, and people should perhaps come to make the error that there's certainly no concern for chatzit by tefillin shorosh, which is actually, as we're learning, a machloikus rishonim. Ask the Mishnah Berurah, so why did the Shulchan Aruch say that we should have koyvadak? It should only be a thin band-aid on top of the head. And what is it if you need an av? Says the Mishnah Berurah, the issue is not dak versus av, thin versus thick. The issue is that since you're putting the tefillin on top of this band-aid, and we need that the tefillin shorosh should be put in the proper, should be kept in the proper place, there is a concern that it's going to be something av, it won't, the tefillin shorosh will not be kept in their proper place, and therefore to prevent that from happening, you should have something dak. We learned in the Mishnah that a mechus b'kipurim, somebody is supposed to wear, somebody is supposed to bring a carbon, a zav, a mitzayra, until he brings the carbon, a kohen, such a kohen may not do the avoda. Menolon, and if he does it, the avoda becomes disqualified. Ask him a menolon, from where we know this rule. Amar afuna amakra, v'chipa alav a kohen v'tahera. Tahera is talking about mechlal shi tmeya. It's referring to somebody that was tamei. And the Torah is teaching us that until he becomes completely tar by bringing all the kabbonis, he may not do the avodah. V'shalai rochot yadayim v'raglayim. Somebody who didn't do, and we're going to spend a lot of time now discussing this rule, somebody who didn't do kiddush yadayim v'raglayim, if he does the avodah, disqualifies the avodah. Says the Gemara, how do we know so? As yechuka chuka, we learn from the rule of a mechus begadim. And just like we learned in the previous year, a mechus begadim disqualifies the avoda, so too will be the rule by shloi rochot yadayim v'raglayim. Ask the Sfas Emes, the Torah says twice v'rochot yadayim v'raglayim. So we know that shina lav akos of lakif, any rule in kachim that was repeated is essential. So why do we need the Gzeirah Shava? Answers the Sfas Emes, continuation of what we learned in the previous year, that if we only had the Pasuk Baruch Tzidayim Reglayim, and indeed we had it mentioned twice in the Torah, we would say that that is only regarding an Avoida that a Zor is Chayav Olav Misa. The four Avoidas that we discussed in the previous year, that if a Zor does those Avoidas, is Chayav Misa. How do we know that this din of Leirok Chidayim Reglayim applies to all avoidas? That's what we learned from the Gzeirah Shava. Tanabon, Kohen Gadol Shlai Tavav Shlai Kiddush. We know that on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol changes his clothing 5 times, and every time he changes the Big Day Kahuna, he has to go to the mikveh, and he has to have 2 Kiddush Chidayim Reglayim, 1 before and 1 after. Kain Godlish like Tavav like Kiddush, Bein Beged La Beged, or Bein Avoida La Avoida, Avedosik Shera. Vavet, and he did his Avoida, Avedosik Shera. However, continues the Raisa, Echa Kain Godl, Echa Kain Hedyid, both Kain Godl, Kain Hedyid, Shloi Kiddush Yadav Raglov, Shachris Vavet, if the Kain Godl missed doing the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim in the morning, Avedosik Psula, the Halacha is that his Avoida is disqualified. Omlai Rav Asa Rav Yochanan, Michti, Chamash Tfilas, the Saran Kedushin, the din that the Kohen has to go to the mikveh 5 times and have 10 Kiddush Yadayim Reglayim on Yom Kippur is a din deraisa. The Chilkik Sibuhu, and the Torah uses the words Chuka. So Akful, the halacha should be that if he misses them, the avoider should be disqualified. Amalek, he responds, Amakra, Levesha. The Torah emphasizes Levesha Makeves, only changing wearing the proper big tikkunah at the proper time is essential.
nothing else. Sarvapanav. So Rav Asi, face lit up, satisfied with this answer. Amalei, vava ofsuk sivilach. The vav, what I answered you, is like a vav written on a piece of wood with cracks in it. That since the vav is a straight, just one straight line, it's not noticeable in a piece of wood with cracks. Similarly, this answer I gave you is not really a good answer. Because if so is the din, that the Torah only insists on levesham, yachid tzafanami. So then even the Kiddush Adayim Raglayim of the morning should not be essential. Yet we learned that that avoid that Kiddush Adayim Raglayim is essential. Amar Chizki, to which Chizki responds, Amar Kro, v'hoyslam chok olam loy lazar l'daroysam. Dova ma'akev zaroy, ma'akev boy. Avoid that his children have to have, he also has to have. And since that Kiddush Adayim Raglayim, first thing in the morning, applies to all kahanim, applies to him too. But the other Kiddush Adayim Raglayim, which are only relevant to the kohen gadol, aren't essential to him either. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yonasan, my Tamil Em the Chizkiyah. Why did Rabbi Yonasan agree with Chizkiyah? Amlach Kahula Doris Ksiv. That Pasuk is coming to teach us a different din. The Pasuk is to teach us that the din of Kiddush Adayim Raglayim did not only apply to Aaron's children, but applies to all future generations. Vidach. And why didn't Chizkiyah, my Tamil Em Mahai, didn't agree with Rabbi Yonasan's Pasuk? Answers the Gemara, because Chizkiyah needs that pasuk for a different purpose. Mibaylei l'chrab yoyis reb chanina. Dor reb yoyis reb chanina. Kol kir shem bay kedei l'kaddish arba kaharim emenu. Any kir that doesn't have enough, that isn't big enough to hold water for four kaharim, ain't mekachim bay. Shnei merach to emenu Moshe for Aaron abonav. So Rashi says Moshe is one, Aaron is two. Abonav is a minimum of two, is another two. Allah's of his summer is four. The Rambam says it can't be Moshe, Aaron, Abonav, because Moshe did the Avodah during the Shiva Shemei Meluim, and Aaron and his children did not do the Avodah during the Shiva Shemei Meluim. When Aaron and Abonav started doing the Avodah, Moshe no longer did the Avodah. And therefore, according to the Rambam, the four is Aaron, Ubonav, Aaron, and Abonav means Elazar in the summer, and Pinchas. And actually, as Mepharshim explained, this machlokes of Rashi and the Rambam that we just quoted is connected to another machlokes of Rashi and Rambam. When we say that the kir has to be big enough to hold water for four kahanim, what does that mean? Does it mean that the vessel has to be large enough that can hold water for four kahanim? Or does it mean not just that it has to be large enough to hold water for four kahanim, it actually has to have that much water? According to Rashi, that says it was Moshe, Aaron, and two of his sons, so they never did their avodah at the same time. So they never needed water for all four people. And therefore, as long as the vessel is big enough, it doesn't have to have that much water. According to the Rambam, we're talking about four people that did their avodah at the same time. And therefore, according to the Rambam, not only must it be large enough to hold water, it has to have at least that much water in it. Tanur Rabbanan, Ketzer Mitzvah Kiddush. How did they do Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim? Meniach Yad Yeminis Agav Ragli Minis. He puts his right hand on his right foot. The other smallest agav ragla smallest, his left hand upon his left foot, or makadish, and then bend over in such a position, he puts on the kiyas faucet, and his hand and feet get washed at the same time. Rav Yosi Bar Yehuda Omer, meniach shtei yadav zu agav zu, he puts his two hands one on top of the other, v'agav shtei raglav zu agav zu, and then he puts his hands upon his two feet, which are also upon one upon the other, Makadish. And that's how he does Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. Amalei, so the Rabbanim said to him, Heflaktoi. It's not humanly possible to do Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim that way. Yehef Shalasas came. Says the Gemara, Shabbat Kamalei. Aren't the Rabbanim saying a very strong argument against Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda? Am Rabbi Yosef, V'chaveri Messiah. How does Rabbi Yosef defend himself? Somebody else supports him. Ask the Gemara, my benayu, what is the basis, the halachic basis of the machlokes between Rabban and Rabbi Yosef and Yehuda? Or Rabaya, Amir Met Tzadik benayu. If somebody needs to support somebody else, support, is that considered standing? According to Rabbi Yosef, it's still considered standing. According to Rabban, it's not. Ask the Gemara, Omle Rav Samu Reider of Ashur Ravina, V'leisef Ma'isu L'Kaddish. Let the coin just sit, and then it wouldn't be a problem. Answers the Gemara, Omikra, the Pasuk says regarding Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim V'Shores, Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim has the same halacha as Avoida, V'Sheiris has to be done in Umid. The Michas Lazer asks a question, but how can we have Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim with the coin touching his feet? We know that one is not supposed to touch his feet. So one Teretz I saw is that since the Kohanim walked in the Beis HaMikdash barefoot, therefore in a place where people walk barefoot, there is no issue in touching one's feet. The Michas Lazer says a different Teretz. He says the reason one is supposed to wash his hands when he touches his feet is because there's a Ruach Ra on the feet. Says the Michas Lazer, in the Beis HaMikdash there was no Ruach Ra, and therefore we did not have that concern. Says the Gemara, Tanabon, Kiddush Yad V'Ragl B'Yoyim, if somebody did Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim during the course of the day, Ein Tzarich L'Kaddish B'Laila, and he continues doing certain avoidance that we discussed earlier, may be done at night, he doesn't have to do a new Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim at night. B'Laila, but if he did Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim for an avoidance that he was doing during the night, Tzarich L'Kaddish B'Yoyim, he has to do a new Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim by day, Divrei Rebbe. Shaya Rebbe Omer, Rebbe's opinion is, Lina may Elos with Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. The passing of the night disqualifies a previous Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. Rebbe Elazar of Shimon Omer, Ein Lina Pelos with Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. There is no such concern. Similar Braisa, Tanya Idach, Hoya Omer Makavel Gam Mizbeach Kol Laila. The Kohen, if there was a Kohen working on the Mizbeach all night long, La Oira, Tan Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. In the morning he has to do a new Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, Divrei Rebbe. Rebbe Lazar of Shimon Omer, Kivin, Shekiddush Yadayim Raglayim B'Tchilas Avoida, if he did Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim at the beginning of the Avoida, Afilu Mekayim V'Atzara Yomim, even for 10 days later, he doesn't have to do Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. The Mefarshim explained that 10 days, of course, doesn't mean 10 days, because it's impossible, as we know the Gemara says, to go without sleep for 10 days. It just means that one Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim can last a long time. Says the Gemara, why do we need two brises to teach us the same din? The Tzricha. The Ashmina Kamaisa, if we had the first Braisa, where the Kohen wasn't doing the Avoida continuously, we would say, by he come a Rebbe. That's where Rebbe said, that since the Pasuk may avoid my Avoida, he made an interruption between the Avoidas, that's why he needs a new Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. Al Baha, in the case of the second Braisa, the Lord Pasuk Lay, he's working continuously, Eim and Moidalele, Rebbe Elazar of Shimon, that a new Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim is not required. That's why he has to say this. V'yashmin b'kohar, if we only had the second braisa, where the kohen is working continuously, that's what we would say. B'ha kamer Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, that a new Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim is not required. Av b'ha, where the kohen wasn't working continuously, eim amaydalei l'Rebbe, sricha. Ask the Ramai Tamid the Rebbe, that every morning you have to have a new Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, the ksiv begishtam. The Torah says, every time they come to new, to do, every day is considered a gishtam, it's a new coming, and requires a new Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. My time, Rebbe Elazar Shimon, the Ksiv B'Boyam. Only is, Rebbe Elazar says, when you come again into the Beis HaMikdash, you left and came in, but if you didn't leave, you're not required to have a new Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. Ask the Gemara, V'idach Nami Ksiv B'Boyam, what does Rebbe do with the B'Boyam? Iksiv, answers the Gemara, Iksiv Abishtav Alay B'Boyim, Hav Aminah Kol Gisha V'Gisha, every time you come again, even in the course of one day. Kas Rachman B'Boyim, to teach us that every morning you have to have a new Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, and even though you didn't do the Avoida continuously, says Rebbe, all day long, the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim in the morning will be effective. Ask the Gemara and Rebbe Elazar, V'Duch Nami Yoksiv V'Gishtam, what will he do with the word B'Gishtam? Answers Rebbe Elazar, Iksiv B'Boyim V'Loy Ksiv V'Gishtam, have him in Afila be reconnaissance that you call him even if he's walking in to the Beis HaMikdash, not with the purpose of doing any avoidance, still requires Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, Kamash Malon, that only he requires to do Kiddushah Dayan Reglayim if he comes to do an Avodah. Ask the Gemara, if there be a Rekonis, if he's not coming to do Avodah, of course he's not required to have a Kiddushah Dayan Reglayim. Haksiv L'Sharis. The Torah says the Kiddushah Dayan Reglayim is required L'Sharis. When you're coming to do an Avodah, if you're not coming to do an Avodah, obviously you don't have to have Kiddushah Dayan Reglayim. Says the Gemara, back to what would Rebbe Elazar do with Begishta? A Begishta, the boy lay with Rebbe Yaakov. Don't Rebbe Yaakov, Hako, Moidin, the Kiddushani. Everybody agrees that when the Kohen Gadol did Kiddush Adayim Reglayim many times on Yom Kippur, there's a machloikis in Mesech the Yuma when the Kohen did the first Kiddush Adayim Reglayim. Did he do it before he took off the Begadim or after putting on the Begadim? Everybody agrees that the second Kiddush Adayim Reglayim was done after the Kohen Gadol put on the new Begadim that he had to put on. Dama Kra, the Pasuk says, Oy Begishtam, Mi She'ena Mechusa El Gish Bavad. That after he does the Kid, that the only he needs to do is after doing the Kiddush Adayim Reglayim, he can immediately proceed to doing the Avodah. Yotzeh, that if he would have to do the second Kiddush Adayim Reglayim before he got dressed and only then put on the big day kuna, it would be Mechusa Levisha Vegisha. Says the Gemara, Lahakti Isha Lamali. When does the Pasuk teach us with the words Lahakti Isha, that said next Pasuk there? Answers the Gemara, Manatema, Hanimil Avoided the Makvi Kapara. Only an Avoided that's essential to the Kapara must have Kiddush Adayim Reglayim. Ava Avoided Loi Makvi Kapara doesn't have to have Kiddush Adayim Reglayim. Kamashalon, that are all Avoiders, even Avoiders that don't affect the Kapara, Kamashmalon required Kiddush Adayim Reglayim.